Selezioniamo le interviste realizzate e le riproponiamo per voi. Musicisti, innovatori, artisti, sportivi, operatori sociali. Raccontiamo la città che cambia. Un archivio unico a disposizione. Scelti da noi e messi in onda per voi. Unica Radio, B-Podcast.
So the idea for the Museum of the Moon came from living in Bristol in England. And here we have the world's second highest tidal range. There's a 13 metre, what's that? It's about 30 or 35 foot, even 40 foot gap between high tide and low tide. So I was cycling to work every day over the river and noticing this huge tidal variation. And of course, it's the moon that's making that happen, as well as the geography of the land. And so, that was sort of 15 years ago, I had this idea to create this replica moon. But back then, of course, the data wasn't available and nor was the printing technology. So it's taken 15 years to be able to kind of finally create this artwork.
This nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
So the artwork consists of a sculpture of the moon. It's 500,000 times smaller than the real thing. And it's created from high-resolution NASA imagery. So every valley and mountain and crater is defined in perfect detail. And it's a sphere. It's a 23-foot diameter sphere, just with a light inside. But it creates this illusion of texture. So in a darkened space, the public, when they first see the artwork, they're amazed by it. And they can... People ask me, how did you get it in the building? Because it doesn't look like a balloon, whereas actually it is just a balloon. And people ask me if it's made of fiberglass or if it's made of concrete, because there is this sort of illusion that's created. And this replica moon allows the public to see the moon in every last detail, but also go around the far side of the moon and see the dark side as well. The moon we see from Earth only faces one direction, so we only ever get to see the front side of the moon, the dub with these darker patches. And it was only in 1959 that the Soviets sent a satellite around the far side of the moon, and the public were able to sort of see what that looked like. So people are very excited to be able to see the artwork up close and have their own sort of close encounter. The reason I made this artwork was because I'm passionate about both the science of the moon and astronomy, but also I'm interested in the art of the moon as well. Humanity has been staring at the moon for 200,000 years. It's always been a destination for humanity, somewhere to aspire to visit one day. And the moon has inspired so much literature and music and mythology in every culture right around the world. And so I've created this replica and I'm touring it around the world as a way of kind of collecting those ideas and those stories and those different beliefs. And that's why I'm calling it the Museum of the Moon, this idea of kind of collecting a sort of human understanding and relationship that we have with the moon. And so the artwork is being presented in different contexts. So if I take the artwork to China, people instantly think about the moon in relation to their Mid-Autumn Festival. The moon has a great sort of spiritual significance in their culture. Whereas if I take the moon to America, people instantly think about the Apollo moon mission. So there's different interpretations around the world. And again, if I put the artwork in a science museum, people think about the artwork quite scientifically. Whereas if I put it in a cathedral or a church, people will then think about the moon perhaps in relation to God and the creation of the universe perhaps. And again, we put the moon in swimming pools, so you can swim out underneath the moon, and that's very beautiful as well. So depending on where it goes in the world and the context and how it's presented, the interpretation shifts. The artwork comes with a composition, a surround sound composition by a composer called Dan Jones, who I've worked with for many years. And he's won a BAFTA and a couple of Ivor Novello Awards as well. And for me, the music is a way of connecting the sculpture with the architecture of the space. So the music can help kind of create an installation, can help fill the space and create an atmosphere for the interpretation of the sculpture. So the artwork is both this sculpture and installation for the public to experience, but it's also a venue for events to take place. So wherever the moon has gone, there's been a whole host of lunar-inspired events taking place beneath the moon. So we've had opera in Italy, and we've had film nights and astronomy lectures and choirs and cheese and wine events. A whole series of kind of crazy events have taken place. So in that way, the artwork leaves space for other people to be creative. And within my practice, that's quite important. So far, the artwork's been a great success. We've had more than 100 exhibitions in 30 different countries right around the world, from India to America, from Hong Kong to Australia. I mean, it's been really surprising. And over 3.5 million people have experienced and seen this artwork as it's been touring. So it's been a great success. The response is really interesting. You know, we launched the artwork recently at the Natural History Museum, and this guy came up to me in a suit, and he was all sort of in tears and emotional. And it turns out he was an astronomer working for the European Space Agency, and he'd spent his entire life studying the surface of the moon, and he became all emotional, and he needed a hug. So I had to give him a hug, and that seemed to sort him out. That was great. And I think it was just last year, this little girl came up to me and she said, "Will you put the moon back afterwards?" And so she thought I'd stolen the real moon, which was really fun. And so I had to definitely reassure her that I would definitely put the moon back afterwards.
Noi selezioniamo le interviste e le riproponiamo per voi. Riascoltale su unicaradio.it o scaricale. Unica Radio. Portala sempre con te.